episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drug fucked tonight. Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Hello. This is a nice podcast. This podcast's very, very nice. That's why I like it, because it's very nice. Oops.
Oh. Good one.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate.
Yeah, good timing there, Kev. And thank you, truthmeets.com. Rick and Rollo 64, Saturday the 17th of January 2026.
Fantastic. Oh,
my goodness. Didn't we have just the weather lately?
Something's happening.
It started happening when you walked by.
I'm telling you, there's some weird shit going on with the weather and electrical.
We got a direct strike. I'm not kidding you. Well, it's scared on the shit house. Out of Rosie. On the house. Yeah. Hopefully my buddy.
You got 33 solar panels up there. That's why.
I might get some money back. All the, you know, my flux capacitor, you know, with out of the DeLorean. Might have put extra electricity into the grid. Oh, I get some money.
I don't know about that.
It might have fucked me. I didn't lose lights because I always keep a light on for Rosie, but it scared the fuck out of her.
Thunder and lightning and fireworks. It's not fair on animals because they really do freak out. It's their hearing is way more sensitive than ours.
I grabbed her and gave her an extra cuddle while it was going on, and she was still freaking out, but she was okay. I don't normally let her get into bed. Sorry to talk over there, Rick, but I don't normally let her get into bed. But when the thunder's clapping like that, you know, when you see the light and you hear the bang straight away, you know, it's a direct strike. Yeah.
Right over the top. Yeah. Oh, you know, there's something extremely I mean, aside from the fact they're dumping metallics in the atmosphere, it's got nothing to do with it, obviously, just joking here. But there's something definitely going down on the sky in New Zealand. Here, there's storms and flooding in New Zealand, and there's flooding in, can you believe it? Last week, we were talking about the fires in Victoria. Now we're talking about floods in Victoria. Exact same area. Oh. Flooding, fire, flooding, fire. In Queensland's flooding, flooding,
it's
flooding.
Climate change. Climate change. Everyone's vaccinated.
Well, honestly, this is what they're going to tell everyone. It's because they fuck around with the weather and then they say, well, it's climate change, so we've got to do something. Now, I heard this fuckwit on the radio today.
Name him.
I can't remember. It was some
Virginia Trioli. Virginia Trioli.
Witch. She's a witch. And anyway, this woman came out allegedly the representative of the farmers of Queensland. And I guarantee she's fucking lying through her fucking false teeth if she's got any teeth. And she said, she's young, a young woman, so she's got real teeth. And she said, all the farmers have signed this thing that we've got to act on climate change to stop the flooding. Now, this is King Canute all over again.
Sorry to interrupt, but was this talkback radio or was this the host?
This is the news on the radio. She's allegedly the minister, the representative of the farmers of Queensland. Now, I'll put my money that the farmers of Queensland are just as aware of what's going on with the weather. We are in a bad cycle at the moment, for sure. But we're not going to change anything in Australia. Australia makes, if the modelling of the world, the United Nations weather climate change thing is real, right? If it was real, the modelling would suggest that Australia doesn't contribute a poofteenth of nothing towards it. Got nothing to do with it.
Talking of man-made climate change. I mean, I named that was
a scheme.
It was a scam. Yeah, globalist scam. Yeah.
Yep.
Did you see C. Price during the week on Sky News?
No. Tell me.
Yeah, well, Pricey, you know, the dwarf that Lawsy didn't like. He didn't like Steve Price.
I don't like him either.
He was talking to Bronwyn Bishop and some other bent, and they were all talking about the new law that's coming in. Albanese wants to silence us all, you know, with this, you know, with threat
because,
of 5 years
only because
jail.
He got threatened by the lobby. I'll just say that if he doesn't do something, he's been threatened with he'll be Kennedy'd if he doesn't do something, because you know he got booed out of Bondi. Even though I enjoyed that,
you're talking about Albo now. Albo. You reckon he might get Kennedy?
Well, I reckon they've told him they must have said to him, you know, you do what we tell you, or you're fucking history, you imbecile.
Australia. He's going to turn Australia into the UK. Mm-hmm. Those towel heads are fine. They keep themselves to themselves.
They do.
Yeah, and all right. And they cook Bondi the best thing, food. Whether you think food. It was real or fake, I think it's totally a psyop. It was fake. Mm-hmm. But whether you think it's real or fake, I don't care. That's why it's my freedom of speech, and you don't believe it either, do you? It was a psyop. But I don't think we'd be allowed to say that under the new laws.
It was a perfectly timed psychological operation. Now, whether anything actually happened there or not, it doesn't matter. The results of that psychological operation are that right on the crest of the wave of the censorship of the internet in Australia, it happened right when they needed it, at the perfect time that I keep saying this. Everything bad always happens around the dead time, which is between, say, December the 10th and January the 31st. Something bigger.
That's right. They recall Parliament or something, especially to get this law passed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus. I mean, look at England now. I mean, how many people get arrested for just a mean tweet? If misgendering someone or, you know, the most pathetic thing.
A name thing. Sorry, more ice noises. Mm.
Yeah, if you call someone a retard, if I called you a retard, Rick, and you took offense and you call the, or a spastic cops. And you call the cops, you know, and then no, I'd be taken away in handcuffs.
Your Honor.
but you are a spastic.
I am a spastic.
That's why I like it. So am I. I agree with you. I raise my glass to you. What's in your hand?
Cooper's as usual. Mm. I just requested the bottle shop. I just said, can you please?
Do you know what you can win? I just saw the ad today. What, you can win a trip to America by drinking Coopers.
Oh, sorry, I lied to you. And you can, I'm not drinking Coopers.
And you can
Coopers
take a friend. Oh,
I'm drinking Daydream Seeker Extra Pale Ale Boutique.
Did you just gaslight me?
Yeah, no. I just bought a case of Coopers, but I've got three random beers. Mm. I'll just open a can up there, and it's called Daydream Seeker Extra Pale Ale, and it looks absolutely delicious.
Yeah. All right, taste it and tell us. Give me the flavor.
It's got fairly it's citrusy notes.
Yeah. Yummy.
Yummy, yeah. Very nice.
And what percentage? Have a look at the percentage on the can.
5%.
5%. That's decent. That'll get you there.
That'll get me there. And it's got a real a Cooper's kind of it's got a thick kind of it's not clear. Let's say that.
Well, I raise my Amogaloo to you. My usual.
The vodka and carrot, organic carrot juice.
No, it's vodka, lime and soda. There you go. So, what were you going to say? I didn't mean to knock that out of you.
I went, I drove down. The winner is Sydney. On Wednesday. Right.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, man, it rained. What's the saying? The weather
cats
description.
And
fucking cats. Pissing down. It was. It came down, cats and dogs. Mm. And I went into Ashfield Mall. Which is just around the corner from Stratfield Mall, which is another big. I don't know what happened there and whether it was real or not, but one of our first big shooting in Australia was Stratfield Mall.
Oh, yeah, I was 5 minutes away. That's where I lived. I lived at. That freaked me out. That did. That was Wade Frankham. Remember?
Wade Frankham, yep.
And remember they had posters on the wall, Time to Kill? Shop at Stratfield.
And he started his shooting at 9 past 11 or 6 past 11. And,
that's right.
And the location of Stratfield Moor is 33 degrees of parallel of that. And I looked it up, wherever the boys look up.
He lived
go to Google Maps.
Newcastle.
You'll see that
he lived in Newcastle, that guy.
I knew lots of cops back then, right? Mm-hmm. And one particular one, the guy who died in Japan last year, or the year before, from Newcastle, you and him would have got on well, apart from the fact he was an ex-cop and he's kind of proud of it.
Okay.
Apart from that, but he was a fucking, well, I used to call him the bad lieutenant because he was, tripping off his head. Fucking tripping and going to court.
Probably stole my stash, the bastard.
Mm. Anyway, he was telling us, apparently, he was, because all the word used to get around from all the cops, they'd hear all the gruesome details about, apparently Wade Frankham used to go to prostitutes, and he'd bring a duffel bag with him, and he had inside it this huge rubber implement that he wanted, this to say, put in an area that you normally wouldn't stick a huge rubber implement in.
Really? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, no. They said, I heard all the stories about that one. Can I just finish? So, anyway, I ran in. I parked around the corner. But it still seems to be really quiet in Sydney. I love Sydney at this time of year because I think most people in Sydney seem to have money and they go off overseas and or go on holidays. It seems to be – so I've got to park really easily, which is a sign there's less people around. And I ran in and grabbed my whatever I was getting. I can't remember. I might have been, I'll tell you what it would have been. Something to do with my new regime of, cottage cheese and, flaxseed oil.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I was coming out and there was a guys doing after hours work on the, on ladders around, fixing lights and stuff like that. And I hit what I had not seen, because there was no signs up, a huge patch of water on the tiles on the entrance that came in about 10 feet into the entrance. And I slipped and went up in the air and hit the ground at the same, like, instantaneous. Oh, like, did I get hurt? And he says, knocking on wood. No, I wasn't. Well, I don't.
This was on tiles. This is on a hard.
So, yeah. On the hard concrete surface of the floor of the entrance of
Ashfield. He slipped and did not hurt yourself. Wow. At your age, I mean,
man, it's,
you're very lucky.
If I'd been old and fragile, I would have broken my hip or at least my leg. I mean, went up in the air and hit the deck, you know, because my feet went from underneath me.
Wow.
I'm going to go and register it, though, with them just in case I suddenly fall over and can't walk next week, because people get thousands of dollars from compensation from accidents like that. That's what shopping centers worry about.
People do it on purpose. That's why they got all the cameras in shopping centers, because they're not there. They could, I don't think they can really give a flying fuck if you steal stuff. I mean, anything that's really valuable they have behind, you know, where they have to open it for you. But it's, so you don't do a slip and fall.
You buy illegal tobacco. You should see what they have to do if you want, say, I wanted to say a packet of cigarette papers or some filters or something, let alone tobacco. Right. They have to almost open, it's almost like when you went to the bank in the old days, get the bank manager coming out with a key to open up the safe. Cause they've got, it's all in lock and key. And I don't think it's just for it's for the staff that's probably flogging the stuff. So only one guy has the key to the tobacco, area.
Yeah.
Oh, it's incredible.
It's a casino type situation. Yeah. I understand. Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear about my week? I had an interesting week.
Yes.
I've been crook all week.
I have not spoken to you since last Saturday night.
No, that's true. On Wednesday, I got up and I was feeling crook. And I tried to eat something and it wouldn't stay down.
Oh.
AIDS. AIDS.
AIDS. I've got AIDS. I've been sleeping with African prostitutes.
Thank you. Liam. Thanks.
I've been sleeping with African prostitutes.
No, I didn't. I couldn't eat for 3 days.
Mm.
So, man. After the third day, it was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So, yesterday, I ground up some carrot juice, you know, in my slow grinder. And even that, I threw up.
Really?
And then I came good today. Christy came around. She bought some, soup. Yep. And she suggested mashed potatoes is usually a good thing. So I just did. Yep. You know, the Kentucky Fried Chicken mashed potatoes. So I did mashed potatoes with gravy. Yeah.
Yep.
With gravy that's got no animal in it. And now I'm as good as gold, you know. And but the thing is, because I haven't got anything inside me, all I'm doing is wet farts. I haven't done this shit in 3 days. I go to the bathroom. I feel like.
On any other show, I'd say this is too much information, Rollo. But on the Rick and Rollo show,
what do they call that? TMI.
No, it's not on Rick and Rollo. There's no such thing as too much information on the Rick and Rollo show. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. Hey, no, that's bad. So you must have had, I would say, a stomach.
Stomach bug, or maybe I ate something bad. The boiled eggs, I could eat half a boiled egg. I boiled two eggs, and they were both double yolkers.
Really?
Can you believe it? Yeah, both double yolkers. And when I sliced them in half, and I went, wow. You don't often get two double yolkers in a row. Is that good luck or bad luck or whatever?
It's kind of good luck, But can I just tell you what I've been doing this year and last year as well, is I got hold of food grade organic bicarb, which is you've got to go to a health shop or buy it online to get it. It's very hard to get. And I sprinkle it in the water that I drink. To what do you call it? To neutralize acids and stuff. And I felt a lot apart from the, and plus the, I'm doing the cottage cheese, flaxseed oil, raw honey protocol, but I'm definitely,
You'll make it past laws.
150 years old.
You remember Clive Dunn when he played Jonesy on Dad's Army? He was always talking about bicarb. And,
was he?
Captain Mannering would just go, he'd roll his eyes going.
Well, I've always considered myself, I am Jonesy, you know. Don't panic.
Well, he lived till 92. He only died in 2012.
Yeah. He played, you know, when he played Jonesy on, he played an old man when he wasn't anywhere near an old man. Like he put, he dyed his hair gray.
He almost lost very his dark job hair. To David Jason, the guy in April.
Really?
Yeah. David Jason could play an old man when he was young. The reason they cast Clive Dunn, though, because he was a bit of a stunt man. He could do the stunts, and David Jason wasn't.
That's like interesting,
Roland. He had a stunt man background, and so he could look old, but then do all the physical stuff that would absolutely crack you up.
I suggest this is the greatest Rick and Rollo show we've ever done, and it's only been 10 minutes in.
What do we call last week's show?
Rick and Rollo, Fearless. Rick and Rollo were Fearless.
Yeah, Fearless, that's right. Yeah. And then you did a Bongversation. Then you did Born of Frustration.
I just love to do different shows because this is complete. This show versus Bongversation is complete opposite.
Your Bongversation, makes a cameo. Iodine makes a cameo. See, I've got two phones.
There's a play on words.
It's good having two phones now. See, I can look on this phone and just use that phone to talk to you. So we can go through, there's a few things I'd like to talk about tonight. Sorry, did I knock a thought out of your head there?
No, not yet. No. Keep talking.
Can I bring a
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation
or your affiliation
on truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Rick and Rollo, episode number 64. Can you believe it? On the 17th of January 2026.
I haven't
got the year wrong yet. At least 4 years in a row for the first month of January, I was getting the year wrong consistently. But 2026.
Yeah, I used to do that all the time. Yeah.
Rollo,
yeah. We've got some RIPs. Okay, so the first one I'll do, which is personal, it was Christy's uncle, Vlado. He was a real estate agent. I only met him twice, but he was just the most enjoyable guy. He died of cancer at 62, liver cancer. I don't know, but I only met him twice and that was years ago. But he's just one of these, I think down in, I'm not sure exactly where he lived actually. So we weren't close at all, but I just know the two times I met him, he was just the nicest guy.
I don't think you're close to any of, Christie's family, are you? Or they've got fairly cautious.
Most of them are dead or either dead or they've been kicked out of the family as well. You know what I mean?
Well,
yeah. Christy,
can we reiterate Christy's related to one of the Wiggles, and I was thinking about
Anthony Field,
and we have to talk about the Wiggles later because I met and caught up with on my 50th. Was it my 50th birthday? It was my 50th. Shut up, fridge. On my 50th birthday, I caught up with the Red Wiggle at a pub in Balmain and got on the piss with him and had a great night and got a photo with me
the
with my arm around.
The old Red Wiggle?
No, Greg. Greg, the guitarist, the original Red Wiggle. The first Red Wiggle.
Tell us. Greg. Yeah, what'd you get up to? Did you know him, or was this accidental?
No, I don't. But I was talking to my older son today. I said, did you know that, because he doesn't remember any of this, but when he was very, very young, he was obsessed with the Wiggles. We had to get every time we went to a video shop, we had to get at least three Wiggles videos for him. This is the days when videos were still around. Yeah, big red car. And, Greg, I think it's Greg. He's the guitarist in the Wiggles. He was a real interesting character, and I told him about my, you know, but it must happen to him wherever.
Do you get his autograph, your son?
No, or a selfie? I got a great photo of me with him because he's got long hair now, and he is actually a really good musician. He plays, he's got like a blues kind of rock band.
Anthony Field used to play in the Cockroaches, remember, in the 80s.
And that's Christy's cousin. Christy's cousin.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
These guys are...
He's a very good looking fella.
And super fit. He's about my age or about... he's about a year older than me, but he's fucking in good condition.
Is he still in the Wiggles, Anthony?
Yeah, of course. Mm. Yeah, because he's not...
He's the original one.
Have you any idea how much money that band's made? And you know these guys have guys like the lead guitar, you know, the main guy from Metallica, not the fucking drummer, forget about him, but
James Hetfield.
James Hetfield has got his, there are so many photos of James Hetfield hanging out with the Wiggles because he had at least three or four kids and his kids were more enamored with the Wiggles than him. And he thought that they were fantastic as well. So, I think they're an incredible, interesting band. And the fact that Christy's ex-wife is a direct relation of that. And I met the Red Wiggle and got on the piss with them and had a great night.
Glad to hear that. Yeah, James Hetfield, man. Metallica was one of my favorite bands in the Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets and then,
Kill 'Em All, Ride the Lightning, and then they went. As soon as they put that video out of that song, that's when they got all pretentious. And it's all thanks to that fucking drummer.
Yeah, Lars Ulrich.
Yeah,
yeah.
A bunch of
I still love them. Nostalgia and all that.
I know. I just played, I was driving last night, that song. It's an instrumental off Ride the Lightning or...
Fade to Black.
It's Orion by Metallica.
Orion. Oh, that's a nice song.
Awesome. Fucking awesome. Absolutely awesome. There's nothing wrong with that band. And that era.
The tragedy was Cliff Burton dying in that bus crash, you know.
He fell out the back of a bus.
Yeah, and the bus landed on his head. It went splat.
Oh, my God.
There was no saving that cunt. He was a dead cunt. Sorry, bad word. All right, we lost the guy that wrote, his name was Scott Adams, and he did a cartoon.
Dilbert.
Yeah, so we lost him during the week, and he was... Yep. He was fairly young too. There's a bit of controversy about him.
But he was also extremely awake about stuff about what's going down.
Oh yeah.
He said he researched it and he thought it's better to take the vaccine because they would have researched it. It was a good idea. I listened to the interview he did with
Rick, you just broke up there. Can you just start your Scott Adams again about the vaccine?
Scott Adams, maybe I'll take myself off Wi-Fi.
No, you're right.
Yeah, no, because I'm on Wi-Fi.
Okay. So am I. I'm on the NBN. Mine's
I'm on NBN as well.
Yeah.
All right. If I drop
that, so you, now you're plugged in. Now you're plugged in, are you?
Yeah.
Well, you don't sound any different. Okay, so go again. So,
Scott Dilbert was interviewed by the, Jim Warfare from South Africa, who's off the UK column. And that guy has the best interviews with so many of the, I don't know how he gets so many great interviews, but he spoke to Scott Dilbert twice because he's also a political cartoonist in South Africa. And Scott Dilbert.
Yeah, you're right, man. I know what you were talking about. I just wanted to correct you before you said it.
Scott Adams said that, yeah, he took the vaccine because he researched it and he thought, you know, that they wouldn't, they've got it right. You know, that it's probably better to take it. Yeah, you know what I mean? So.
Sure. But who's rest in peace. Someone's coming to join us. Let's have a look. Look here. It's
Joel.
It's Bellaset.
Fantastic.
Yeah, g'day, Bella.
Hey guys, I'm just listening along from the balcony on my phone. I just wanted to say, go into the chat. I've got a photo you guys will like. It's Murray you're thinking of, the red wig.
Murray Wiggle.
Oh, we got the name wrong. Murray. God, where he is.
No, but I was thinking of Greg, who had the health issues.
Greg's the yellow wiggle. The health issues. And that's then right. The one you're talking about, Jeff.
It was Murray.
The blue one who's related to Christy.
The good looking one
on the left. Now, what's the purple one's name again? The Asian?
Go on to it. Hang on. We're going to do it.
Jeff, wake up.
Is that you in the middle?
Wake up, Jeff is the purple wiggle, and he's gay. Yeah. And that's why they gave him the purple thing, obviously.
And that's Velo in the middle. And then who's that there on the?
That's the originals. That was taken on their last appearance before all the new staff took over and they stopped appearing as a group.
Well, I think you're the best looking one of all of them. Anthony Field.
Anthony, you're that's fantastic.
Are you looking at the photo, Rick?
Yeah, I am right now. And so geez, you're young there, Joel. You are young man.
Yeah. I think that was like 10 years ago. I was 25, 10 years ago.
Honestly, that photo, Joel, is worth its weight in gold because these guys are so iconic globally. Mm. And I'm talking about China, America.
All the other cast were there as well. The new yellow, the new red, the new blue. All the new ones were there also. They were doing like a handover ceremony.
Okay.
And I said, can I get a photo? And they all stood in. I said, no, just the originals. I said, I went and saw you guys when I was four and you just had actual skivvies from Best and Less. And I want to get a photo with just the originals. And they said, okay, fair enough. And then all the others had to leave and then they just did a photo with me.
Oh, man, that is worth its weight in gold. I've got a photo of me with my arm around me, and we got our arms around each other. He's got much longer hair now, Murray, and he's a regular. He plays in this pub in Balmain, or Roselle rather. He's got a band, but he is actually a really, really good musician and singer.
I think the Cockroaches was probably a great band.
Oh, they were fantastic. When I first came to Australia in 85, they headlined at the Balmain Leagues Club every Friday night, and they packed, I'm talking about 2,000 punters minimum.
But how much did they make on that gig compared to the Wiggles? Like, they're worth 100 million now.
You should see the properties, like, Anthony Field or the Wiggle Company.
Do they have that arrangement where they've got to fly on separate planes and all that kind of thing?
I think they kind of might have done at some stage. They were making so much money, though. We're talking about mega millions, you know.
Who are you working for there, Bella? Mix FM, is it? I'm just trying to look behind.
Mix FM was one of the stations, yeah.
Yeah, I just can see behind Anthony's left shoulder, it says MI, so 10-something.
That was also when they, I think it might have been an event around that time where Rosso had switched and come aboard ours, and he said, the slogan should be Mix 106.5. It's not just for Asian cab drivers anymore.
He'd be in trouble for saying that one these days.
Yeah, can't. I might send this to Dave J and see what AI can do with it.
That's a great photo, Joel.
Make them all cuddle you or something. You know,
I'm gonna have to go on Facebook and search and find my 50th birthday.
I don't need a bunch of twinks coming out to hug us all.
Hey, Rollo.
Maybe we can get Dave to bring all the other Wiggles, the new Wiggles, you know, because they've got
I think Susie is now proficient in doing things like that too, I do believe. With this AI business. Anyway, while we're talking
I downloaded that photo before you deleted there, Bella.
Oh, you got it? Damn it. You're good to go.
I don't want
AIs of me from the past.
I can't stand
Don't worry, buddy.
It's just silly. You can trust me.
I will not.
I like that day because I saw him when I was 4.
That's
and then
amazing,
I saw him
Joel.
When I was 25, and it's, just leave it as it is.
Joel,
can I put it on Roller's balcony or not?
No, you can't put it
anywhere, and if you do, I'll delete it.
Don't send it to Dave. Just move on.
No worries, I'll delete it right now. Otherwise, I'll get drunk and I'll think I've got a right to post it.
Move on.
Anyway, if you ask me tomorrow, I'll send it to you again. I don't mind sharing it, but I just don't want any stupid stuff. No worries. I'm going to leave. I just thought I'd come on too. The other thing, Rick, have you heard of Pluribus?
Is that a show?
New show on Apple TV. You like?
Yeah, I do. Yes, I have. And apparently,
you like that. What's the one with the split brain thing?
Severance. You know, because Norbert, as he was named last week, we're talking about him lately. He has been shanghaied in Shanghai. He got taken off their plane flying to Japan yesterday and got stuck in Shanghai overnight. He's now currently flying to Japan at the moment. And he sent me he said, Dad, you can't see. He said, it's so foggy here. And I said, Norbert, that ain't fog. It's pollution. And the photo he took out the window, all you can see from, they were taken about 20 minutes or maybe half an hour from the airport to a hotel because there's big storms going on in China, just like there is here. And Japan, all you can see in the horizon is fucking cranes. And I'm talking about the big suckers. So there's nothing, there's massive infrastructure going on in Shanghai at the moment.
You go to Shanghai, you see cranes. You come to Sydney, you see ibises.
my goodness. Don't start me about those. Don't start me about them.
Sorry, that's a joke.
Yeah. But no, he's currently in transit to go to Japan flying on three of them left Melbourne yesterday and they got way late. So one got called off and they said, oh, we can take you, but you know, you two have to sit here. And they ended up getting stuck in China yesterday. But they jumped on this very fast train and went into the main city of Shanghai last night. And then got back to their hotel and having a great adventure. But a lot of sitting on tarmacs, apparently, in between.
Dubai. Have you ever sat in Dubai on a stopover? You're trying to have a sleep at 4 in the morning because your flight's not for 6 hours. And you have to hear,
when I went to I went to Hamad International at Doha in Qatar. Yep. I went to the Gold Lounge and had a feast and then sat with all the Saudis vaping up and smoking cigars. It was phenomenal.
Sure.
I said to Norbert yesterday, I said, just treat everything as an adventure because, you know, it's the fact you've now been to China. Like, he'd never thought he'd get to China this year. But I actually was planning going there.
Ni hao ma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but you know what he said? He goes, Dad, I've never seen so many cameras in my life. He reckons that everywhere you walk, there's cameras set up filming you. Like Melbourne.
Rollo is just going, ni hao ma, and my cat's staring around all over the place.
That's awesome. You going to play some music for us tonight, Bello?
No, he's going to bed.
I was just going to say, yeah, so get on to Pluribus. It's like viral spread, NPC theory.
Everything's like on
talking
there.
To an AI. It's got all the tropes packed in there. And the amount of people I've seen, like social critique saying, oh, it's really slow. And people say, oh, you've just got TikTok brain. You expect it too quick. And then I watched it and I thought, this isn't slow at all. They literally, the people defending TikTok brain, ridiculous. This show is perfectly edge of your seat. There's no TikTok brain shit going on.
Yeah, absolutely. I heard it's great. I heard it's fantastic.
Anyone saying it's too slow is fucking retarded. There's plenty to absorb.
Oh, that's fantastic, Joel. You know, Norbert told me about it
before Christmas. On Apple TV, it's on my Netflix. Available now, so check it out.
Excellent. I'll do that.
Vello, can I send this photo to Christy? She won't post.
You can send it to Christy, of course. Yeah. I thought you deleted it, though. Liar.
No, I've still got it. I've just sent it to Christy now.
Don't send it to Dave or anyone. Just keep it to yourself.
No, just Christy, though.
I'll send you the photo of me and Murray. Murray, their arms around each other. Drinking.
Yeah, put that in our group chat. I want to see you and Murray together.
It's fantastic. He's such a great guy, though, and he's so friendly. Yeah. Can you imagine being as famous as him and just having some random guy come up? But what I talked about was my, you know, how we had to buy every single DVD back then it was video and DVD of the Wiggles because he wanted to watch every. You're listening to.
Rick and Rollo and Vello.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Rick and Rollo episode number 64.
Saturday the 17th. Yeah. 2026.
It's like
Rollo,
two pickups.
We're having a great time.
Rollo, we've got to talk about the biggest death in radio this week was Brian Wilshire. Ex-TGB, he was the most famous host they've ever had. He had the biggest audience, but he got, because he was a conspiracy theorist, and he was, I've got his books here because he wrote books and he used to be a, talk about stuff that, you know, particularly about Club of Rome and stuff. He actually had a guest on a regular basis who was Australia's representative of the Club of Rome would come in on a Tuesday night and speak. His audience was way above Laws's, way above Alan Jones's. But because he was saying stuff that was just a little bit too controversial and they sacked him and they actually removed the record of him actually being, because I used to try and download his old shows, and when they sacked him, they removed all his old shows. But he passed away at aged 82 or 3 or whatever it was, probably 82.
I'm looking at Brian Wilshire was born on the 30th of March 1944, died 30th of January 2026. Australian broadcaster for 2GB Sydney hosted the Australia Overnight program.
That's it.
12 a.m. till 3:30 a.m. So he did, you know.
But originally it was 8 o'clock at night till midnight.
Oh, right. I got there now. And his show was called Hanky Panky.
The signature tune was Hanky Panky. It was a great instrumental from the 40s, I guess. That show, when I first came to Australia, I turned on the radio because my father was had 2GB on all day. And that was on at night time. I was 21 years old.
He was 81. Opposite of 18. Was married to his wife, Ruth, for over 45 years before his death, before her death in 2023. Wow. So, let's raise our glass to Brian Wilshire for having the courage to tell the truth.
Be conspiracy theorist and tell the truth.
Yeah, on TGB of all places, which is,
I was a regular caller, right, on that network.
Did you record any of your calls?
No, I didn't know how to do it. This is pre-computer. I'm talking about the 80s when I used to name it.
Okay, mate.
I was listening to up when they sacked him, because he made a controversial comment about the Middle Eastern people after the that's another psyop.
The towel heads.
We're talking about the incident. Yeah. Alan Jones also got into trouble and almost sacked over the where Velocet's from, all kind of that vicinity in Cronulla, the Cronulla riots.
Oh right, that was awful.
He brought it up that he wasn't 100% on ball of what's going down, but he would be talking about Club of Rome, climate agenda, et cetera, from the 80s onwards. And he passed away this week. And another loss. Clive, John Laws, Brian Wilshire.
We've lost a lot of them. You know, the good ones. The ones that I honestly can't remember Brian Wilshire's voice. Maybe we can get Velo to play a second or two of Brian Wilshire when he gets back.
When he gets back,
he buggered off about five minutes ago.
Well, I'll be horrified if I found out he was living near me, because I do believe he was living in North Coast somewhere, maybe in Newcastle, maybe up here, up until he died. And I always I always said, I wanted to contact him and say, why don't you do a podcast? You've been sacked off the mainstream media because of your views. You can become a podcaster and come
and join us. Like I invited Laws.
He would have been too egotistical about to do that, I would say, and it's too unprofessional the way we do things. But the fact that he was sacked, even though he was, and he said he got contacted by one of the staff members of the advertising in 2GB. Yeah. And they said to him, we've been told that you're not to be, plugged anymore because of your views or whatever. And he said,
they will pull their advertising if you keep this talk. Yeah, I understand.
That's what they're threatening.
Well, that's how Lawsy got so rich, the cash for comment, where he changed his views on banks and insurance companies overnight.
Alan Jones.
And Alan Jones as well. But the other radio connection. Did you ever meet Brian in real life? So you never did?
No.
Only talked to him on the radio.
I spoke to him many times.
You've never been choked out by John Tingle.
To be honest, I actually used to listen to John Tingle. I actually enjoyed his voice.
Yeah, he came out on after Lawsy at 12 till 3.
1 o'clock, I think, Tingle was. 1 o'clock.
Was it 1? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because what they did on 2GB at midday after Laws left, they do a one-hour news show.
I used to listen to him. I thought he was rather boring. I mean, all right. Now that I'm from open carry up in heaven, John Tingle would be be proud of me. He was for gun rights, totally.
He was the head of the Shooters Party. But the only thing that we ever going to get to open carry in Australia will be a pop gun or a water pistol.
I've got a water pistol here. I used to squirt the birds that were being out of control where I used to live.
Yeah, and how did that work? Yeah. How did that work out?
Not too good. It worked pretty well.
Yeah, but they got angry with you and they came and ate your furniture.
Yes, they did. Right. They did. That's right. Yes, they did. Hilarious. Oh, the good old days. But those beautiful king parrots, because they were a bit skittish, but it was so cockatoos that I could stand.
Have you got the bullies? Are you still feeding the birds? And
No. What I do, right at the end of my, yard, there is a water bowl, and I obviously didn't need to fill it today because it pissed down so hard last night with that storm. Can you tell me
what time the storm hit you? Because I'm telling you, I was on the right.
It was two times. It was about 9 o'clock and then about 11 o'clock. 9/11.
I'll say this again. We talked about this briefly before we went on air because I had a brief conversation with you.
Mm.
If I believed Facebook, the weather, all the weather threats that we got from...
It's called Meta now, you old man. Meta.
If I believed Meta when it told me that there was this giant red and purple patch between Taree and where I live, that you shouldn't even be on the road, I would have gone, I better stay off the road.
Yeah, you could have pulled off the road and come here to my place because you could have stayed in the penthouse. Yeah.
The penthouse.
Yeah. Still no one in there.
Instead of the fucking garage on the blow up mattress that I had to blow up myself. Oh, no, actually,
that's not the penthouse. I mean, that Velo's room is not the penthouse. You got to stay in the penthouse.
I want Velo's room next time I stay there. I do not want to sleep.
You're more than welcome to it. There's no one else in this house apart from Rosie. Yeah, so I've got no interest in having... I thought, should I allow people to rent that room?
And then I went, nah.
It's the same with me, Roller.
I don't think us... What we call ourselves?
It'd be like having a flat. Did you ever have flatmates when you were younger?
I never. Actually, to be honest, yes, I did a few times. And you know who I'd pick to live?
Yeah, who would be? Yeah, well, here we go. Who's your perfect flatmate? It could be anyone.
New Zealand females. Yeah.
Have you got a name?
No. I can't even remember any of them, but they work hard.
I want someone famous, a famous person. I'd have a roommate, Natalie Imbruglia.
I'd like to live with her too. I'd like to live with her as well. Yeah, why not?
Absolutely. Let me think. Madonna in her heyday, not now. In her heyday,
Have you seen the photo she did for Playboy back, or the nude footage that they got? Playboy paid a fortune, probably $1 million for. She had the most biggest thatch of pubic hair I've ever seen in my life.
The map of Tassie.
She had a map of South Africa.
I'm trying to think, who else would I have?
Madonna had a map of South Africa, not a map of Tassie.
I would have Brigitte Bardot in her day. Mm-hmm. I would room with her.
Yeah, I would too.
I know you would.
up to about 1978. And then I would probably move south from there afterwards. And she'd move
Come
south
on, you, well. you must have a couple, like oh, some I'd pretty ones with. That you would yeah, room with. Yeah.
I'd room with Tanya Roberts circa up till probably 1990 something or other.
Take two. Tanya Roberts, who?
Tanya.
Who's Tanya Roberts?
Who's Tanya Roberts? Rollo, please. The fifth member of Charlie's Angels that replaced Farrah Fawcett Majors.
Well, I would go out of the Charlie's Angels. I'd go that Smith one, the Smith.
Kate Smith.
Something. Kate. Is it Kate Smith or Michelle? Yeah, Kate Smith.
Kate Smith.
Yeah. Yeah, my brother always fancied her too. But I didn't mind Farrah Fawcett, but nah.
Did you know there's a movie out there with Raquel Welch playing a transvestite?
Oh, yeah.
Transsexual, rather. Sleeping with Farrah Fawcett Majors in a bed. I don't know how much you get to see, but I'm very keen to watch that movie, actually. There's a young Farrah Fawcett Majors and a young Raquel Welch in bed together. And the movie about transsexuals or transvestites. No, it's transsexuals.
Oh, yeah.
I do believe. Yeah. Huh. Raquel Welch played a male to female transsexual. I can't remember the movie, but there's a scene where she's in bed with another woman, and it's
Farrah Fawcett Majors. Let me grab my phone. There were other things we were going to talk about.
I'll talk about this, advise you. It's more interesting.
Oh, no, I was going to talk about Not Without My Daughter. Oh, yeah. I wanted to talk about... Yeah, well, it was a fantastic movie done in 1991. I thought it was 89, but it's 91.
It's about the Iran narrative.
Sally Field, because Iran's going through another revolution at the moment, I think.
Mm. Guess who's organising that one? It's the same people that organised the one that we got in December, guaranteed.
Yeah, oh, the Jews.
Some of that nature.
Yeah, sorry, but
CIA.
But the Not Without My Daughter story. I've seen the woman, the original woman. She was coerced by her husband to go over there. And Sally Field and Alfred Molina played the characters so well.
Do you know Alfred Molina plays Alfred Molina is one of the big villains in the Spider-Man movies now.
He is. That's right. He's got all those robot arms coming out his back or something, hasn't he?
Yep, that's him.
Got his start. The first movie he ever did was in Indiana Jones, and he was the guy that double-crossed him.
Yes.
At the beginning. He only lasted five minutes.
Molina is one of those special actors that always plays a special role.
Well, in this Not Without My Daughter, I swear to God, he was menacing. And this movie was so good, it would not get played in Iran. It wouldn't get...
Because it's a movie roller, and I would say Iran would have nothing to do with it because it's just a bullshit movie to... demonize Iran, one of those countries is full of very intelligent, very light-skinned people.
He's actually Spanish, so he played the part so well. He was so menacing, the woman, because it's based on the true story. I haven't read the book yet, but I've seen so many videos of her. Because she was a creative consultant on the movie because she was so pissed off how hard it was to get out of Iran. She wasn't happy that they didn't have the budget to get through the snow because they didn't have any snow shots. And it was so dangerous to drive.
Snow in Iran. Does it snow there was
snow to get to Turkey. It was through the worst part. She had one opportunity to get away and she would not leave because her husband said, look, I'll let you go back to the United States, dissolve all our assets because they had a beautiful home. He was an anesthesiologist. He was rich, lots of money,
This is the character, not Alfred Molina. This is the character.
No, Alfred Molina was just being, just a great actor. He was brutally, he was as good as Jake the Musk was in Once Were Warriors. Okay,
can I reiterate here? We're talking about a Hollywood movie to demonize Iran from 1980 something or other. Would it be right?
1984 when they went over just when the Ayatollah came in.
Who was a setup by the CIA guaranteed? Iran's been the, it's the golden goose that they've always wanted to take over, in America, and, America's,
Did you see what Trump said during the week to, about Albanese? Trump said, if you fuck with Australians' freedom of speech, I'm, he said something, you know, typical Trump, grandstanding.
Overthrow. That'll be fantastic. I'm happy if he comes and does it.
He said, you don't want to pass this. Yeah, Bill. Trump said it because he, or one of his, I don't know if Trump actually, if we got it from his mouth, but we got audio of it. I'd love it. Yeah, he said, yeah, don't fuck with Australians' freedom of speech because, freedom of speech is everything. I mean, I'd like open carry, but freedom of speech is something I'd still like to hang on to.
open carry will never happen in this country, Rollo, after Johnny Howe had guns removed.
Yeah, 1996, Port Arthur.
1996, yeah. Port Arthur. Ain't that going to happen? We weren't even, to be honest, I guess Queensland's always been more open. You know, people in Queensland have been have more access to guns. I think you could get an air rifle there, and I think you possibly still can. I'm not sure.
Get them in the Northern Territory in Canberra, you know, like where you get all the porn and the.
Yeah, well, I think in Canberra you can probably open carry. They'd probably allow that. But not us over here. I'm telling you, man. No. We're living in dystopia. But not as bad as England. And I said this about 2 years ago, that Keir Starmer is going to be the worst prime minister they've ever had. And I just based it on his name, Keir, which is reminding me of Keir Dalia from 2001 Space Odyssey, and Starmer, which means kind of water star, or, you know, his whole name. I just could tell this is the guy, and apparently he's a homo as well.
Oh, he's a homo. Look, yep. Do you see him at Christmas when he was at the... You know that he hates the United Kingdom.
Absolutely. He
hates Christianity for sure. Because he's a Muslim. He's a Rick and Roll.
No matter what you say, you're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Yeah, Rick and Rollo.
You go, Rollo.
64, Saturday the 17th of January 2026. Yeah, we're talking about all the subjects that no other radio will. Oh, well, that's Brian Walsh here. Brian Walsh.
He would have back in the 80s, but he got absolutely done for. Now, I've got his books. They're called The Fine Print. The Fine Print. Yeah. Parts 1 and 2. They are still fantastic books to look at. If you want to see how we got to where we got.
Are they autographed?
No. No. I've still got the bottle of champagne, Ron Casey, a one-off Ron Casey on my shelf in my book.
Ron Casey. Oh, man, I love that guy. Yeah, I'd listen to 2KY in the morning just for his show, just because he was such a nutcase.
Oh, you're
so funny. When he went on A Current Affair, and he punched Normie Rowe in the face on Ray Martin. But he was on Yarn Event and then threw his glass down in disgust because
he did.
Yeah.
Can I just say this? The funniest thing I've seen, I don't know who sent it to me or was it on Discord or, but it's that guy, this is a big famous YouTube now. There's a guy holding a flag, American flag, and getting surrounded by lefty Americans, you know, orange haired types or blue hair types.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And they scream, they've got, one of them's got a loudhailer in screaming at the, and pointing it in his ear, trying to deafen him. And people are going, everyone hates you. Everyone hates you. And this, all of a sudden, he loses it and he just goes ballistic with his fists. And he's obviously this guy obviously knows how to brawl. And he starts punching all these lefty Americans. And they start trying to attack him and he's knocking them out one after the other.
I saw that. What about the smart ass comment that ICE agent, you know, when the woman said, he said, what do you do for a living? And she goes, you know, how much do you make? And 200K a year. And, how long do you go to school? And she goes, 7 years. He goes, well, I left at high school and I make 200K now. I would do it for free. That's it. You saw it. Yeah. It's classic. That was on X or I won't say Twitter because, you call it Facebook. We call it Twitter. We're old men now.
We are.
Older.
But I'm on Facebook and I cannot believe Mr. E. I do believe it's Mr. and he's calling himself Master X on Facebook. He is posting all the stuff about like Sean Penn's new girlfriend, who's 35 years younger than him. That's a bloke. She's about 6 foot tall, big shoulders, big head.
Bless his heart.
A guy.
Sean Penn got Madonna, it is.
And Sean Penn's been over in Ukraine and doing a movie.
His
punishment's obviously been now.
Oh yeah,
Sean, we've allowed you to get publicity, but now you have to marry this tranny, and he's going out bloke.
What's it called? Ritual humiliation or something?
Ritual humiliation. Whatever it is, but. Sean Penn's new girlfriend, just like and I have to say that I totally agree with this one. The lead singer from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, who I can't say, Anthony.
Anthony Kiedis.
His supposed wife that gave birth to his son. That is a bloke. there's no doubt whatsoever. That's not a girl. That is a guy.
Bit of a weirdo. That guy. Huh?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Did you know that under the bridge
is my favorite.
Isn't it strange though that the whole thing about Bondi is this bridge, Bondi Bridge, where they did all the two guys unloaded about 6 minutes worth of rapid fire shots in the air. Somehow they hit people. You saw it. I think you've seen it.
Yeah.
And guess who was in Bondi for Christmas getting. Photographed everywhere. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Ah, he's classic. I like him. He's got a good sense of humor.
Has he? Can you provide?
He was on Family Guy, and he made me laugh. And he was in Back to the Future. Remember?
Was he?
Called him. Yeah, in Back or Part Two. He called him. He goes, "What are you, chicken?" And then Michael J. Fox goes,
So Flea and Oprah Winfrey were in Bondi for Christmas.
Hmm.
Apparently so. Oh. Be told. Yeah. So someone must have said, we're going to demonize this little area, but what we'll do is we'll allow all these famous people to come and stay there for Christmas just to make it more
just like the Rock and Oprah when Maui, whatever the hell happened in Maui, you remember that thing. Where all the cars melted or whatever, and
well, apparently so.
What the hell happened there? It wasn't a wildfire. It was some directed energy weapon.
Well, this is the problem. What they did in Maui is they changed. So basically, they used to grow all these crops there, and then all of a sudden, they were told you can't grow these particular crops there, and all these areas went into growing stuff that didn't work, and it turned into a fire zone, basically. And all I had to do was let it go, and it went into a fire, and it burned a whole lot of stuff. Overhyped it on the media.
Then her and Dwayne Johnson go on begging for money. Yeah. And we go on, how rich are you guys? Like, seriously? How rich are you guys? Yeah. Like,
totally.
Do you really need to beg for money? We got another big news this week.
Okay.
Is Kathleen KK 1111. Yes,
fact.
Kathleen Kennedy has finally been kicked out of fucking Lucasfilm, Disney. Star Wars under, well.
Did you see the parody thing from the Babylon Bee? It said that
No, I didn't. Tell me.
I sent it on to you on one of the sites. It was a parody about it, and it said that Kathleen Kennedy wanted to do a three-part sequel for Star Wars with Rey, you know, Rey, the new heroine, having her first period.
Why?
Kathleen Kennedy was really upset that she got – this is the joke on Babylon Bee. Said that Kathleen Kennedy's been sacked before she wanted to do a three-part opus on Rey having her first period.
That's like the Babylon Bee. Yeah, they're a satirical.
It was satirical.
Yeah, look what they did. And this is a guy I listen to is Anthony something in America. Look what they did with Star Trek when they left. They didn't do the movies until like 8 years later after the show had ended.
Yep.
And they did them right up till 1991, you know, Star Trek, the motion picture. Robert Weiss, and then The Wrath of Khan, and then The Search for Spock, and then
The Wrath of Khan was
Ricardo.
He was so good in that.
The story I heard, the dude who wrote the story for The Wrath of Khan and directed. Knew nothing about Star Trek. So Paramount he watched before the pre-production. No, he watched them all. And he wrote the story after watching them all. And that's why it became one of the better ones. The Search for Spock was a bit shitty. The fourth one was written by Leonard Nimoy about the whales.
Pathetic, pathetic. I saw everyone
I liked it. It's my favorite one.
The Shatner one
was the next one. And then some total nobody did the Undiscovered Country, the sixth one, which was great. And then they did a crossover with the Next Generation, which I really liked. It was called Generations. Malcolm McDowell didn't like it because he got hate mail for phoning in his performance. Malcolm McDowell out of Clockwork Orange. Well, he didn't know anything about Star Trek. He didn't know what he was doing. And he killed Kirk. He killed Captain Kirk. He killed William Shatner, who's still alive, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. He killed the character. Yeah. He got so much hate for killing Captain Kirk. You know, the nerds. You fucking nerds. It's just a fucking role, man. No.
I have very close friends that are Trekkies. Yeah. I'll just say that. And to me, like Star Wars, Star Trek and Star Wars, the fans, it's a religion to them, literally. And that's why, you know, when Australia does its, what's that thing called when you have to do that thing that's in the Bible days?
You're telling a story, mate.
What's the thing? Every 4 years you have to fill out a census. The census. Right?
All right.
Gotcha. It's like what? You fill out my senses, like Denver. Okay. But so
people
many
put their religion, put their on their religion
Jedi,
as
Jedi,
yeah, Jedi,
or,
yeah,
or Trekkie, literally,
or a Trekkie, yeah, yeah. Maybe we should go out with Star Trekking along the among the universe. I like that song.
Yeah, it's a great
Klingons
song.
There's Klingons on the starboard bell, starboard bell, starboard bell. Yeah, it's the kill, man.
Good song, but I think we probably replayed that on. That's what I'm doing now. When I do a show, I'm actually going to just call it the name of the song I'm going to play, because I cannot remember all the different songs I've played on the Be Told shows.
Well, you can repeat, you know.
I can, but I'd rather not. I'd rather not. But et cetera, et cetera.
Now, we might play Orion by Metallica. I like that.
Oh, yeah, actually, a good idea. I love that. It's such a good instrumental. Can I tell you how big, you know, you've been posting all stuff about Stranger Things, but Stranger Things
apparently boosted
Metallica and Kate Bush through the fucking stratosphere.
Running out that hill.
Not the last series, but the one before that. All of a sudden, Kate Bush got fans like my kids' age, you know, from say 24 down.
Listening to 18
or whatever. Yeah, listening to,
My favorite song of hers is easily, cause I remember Molly Meldrum going, what the fuck is this? It's me, Kathy, come home now. Yeah, when she's dancing around in that red dress, it was the funniest shit. And she had the best sense of humor too when she was on the Kenny Everett video.
She had a great sense of humor. But she was only 15 or 16 when she came up with that song. She was, out of nowhere. And the guy that actually got her to be famous.
It's got the most beautiful piano.
Yeah, but it was Dave Gilmore from Pink Floyd who
helped her out.
Oh yeah, pushed her along for sure. He was the guy.
Good on him.
100%. 100%.
I wish I had Dave Gilmore push me along when I was his age, her age back then. Play the piano.
If we were a singing group, the Rick and Rollo Show was a group, and we were musicians.
Yeah.
That's who you'd want to produce you in the background. Absolutely. Is Dave Gilmore.
Absolutely, yeah.
And why not?
Yeah. Oh, those were the days. This is why it's called Rick and Rollo Nostalgia. I don't know. Have we gone for an hour yet?
The stuff we were talking about yesterday, and I was posting stuff about from Diamonds Are Forever onwards.
Stunts. I looked at all of them. That whistle they did with that car stunt. Yeah. I didn't care about the whistle.
What was the name of the stunt man that I sent it to you? He was the guy that actually did.
He did the
driving scene in Diamonds Are Forever. It's 1971. Or 1970.
Is it on the balcony here?
Yeah.
I'll find it. Give me a second.
They always bring in the best drivers to do these incredible stunt scenes, but I do believe he was used in other movies as well. But car stunts. And so we had Sean Connery in Diamonds Are Forever in the car with that chick that I told you. Pulled the spider off her back when she was crawling
Bill,
up her
Bill
back.
Hickman. You said Bill Hickman. Hickman was Bill. A stunt driver. And that's Jill St. John. Yeah. I picked off a spider crawling off her back.
Yeah, so I've actually touched
sorry.
The back of Jill St. John
and pulled
the spider off her back, and then she kind of turned around and looked at me, and I showed her the spider, and obviously that's she's amazing. A vegan type. And she looked at it. She gave me a smile. Now, when I researched Jill St. John, I discovered that I touched the same back of Sean Connery had slept with her. Henry Kissinger had slept with her. Have a look at how many in real life.
Yeah.
No, in real life. You know, so Henry Kissinger. Sean Connery.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of Henry.
I think it's still, can I just say this? I think that Henry Kissinger is not dead. And I could be considered a lunatic for saying that. But the guy was too...
I'm not dead, Rick. I'm still
here. He's like the older version of Klaus Schwab.
Rick, I'm the caretaker. I've always been the caretaker.
But you know, when you hear Henry Kissinger's brother, who was a car salesman, he has a perfect American accent, but Henry Kissinger talked like this and you could hardly understand a word he was saying. You know, he was like the Klaus Schwab on steroids. But you know, Jill St. John, who was on going out with
I'm a bit jelly about that.
No, I was standing behind her, and a spider was a green. It didn't look deadly because I didn't like swipe it off her back. I actually let it crawl onto my hand. I touched her back, and she turned around and looked at me, and then I showed her.
And you didn't kill it.
No, I don't do that. And she gave me this bit, but she gave me that look she probably gave Henry Kissinger, like, it's time to go to bed, Henry.
Oh, yeah, you got
she smiled at me. But the one that didn't like me was her husband or boyfriend. It was Robert Wagner. He gave me this look when I had to go and tell him about something or other. You know, they were moving off the set to move over there. He just looked down at me like this, you're nothing to me.
Oh, well, this is when on Heart to Heart in Australia, wasn't it?
Yeah. 1996 or 1995, possibly 1995. I think 1995, 1996. But yeah,
there you go.
He wasn't very nice, but she looked at me like, oh, that's nice. You've taken a spider off my back and you didn't kill it. And she batted her eyes.
Oh, that's sweet. Especially a star like that, Jill St. John.
And just Google how many blokes she's been hanging around. Zero.
None of my business. But I want to talk about that stunt on that bridge.
Bill Hickman.
That was in The Man with the Golden Gun, 1974.
Oh, okay, 74. Now, that's what we're talking about yesterday.
And was it Jackie Gleason? He was in the car with Jackie Gleason.
It was.
Yeah, where he goes, what are you going to do? And he had the fear on his face. And then he ends up on the back seat with that car. And that's that guy you said.
You're listening to Rick and Roll.
Rick and Roll.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the donate link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Hello. You're listening to Rick and Roar on the 64th episode of Rick and Roar on the 17th of January 2026. Back to our hosts, Rick and Roar.
Thanks, Kev.
Thanks, Kev.
Thanks,
good
Kev.
Stuff. Yeah, we got a little
dice, right? But just before we went to the break, we went to Bill Hickman. Now, in Diamonds Forever, the stuntman had to get the car up on two wheels and go through a tiny gap. Yeah, to go through a tiny gap because they wrecked four cars
to do it
because the stuntman. Couldn't do it, and so they got Bill Hickman, the one to do that stunt.
They will bring over, and I'm telling you now, I've seen it on film, they will bring over a professional, they call it a precision driver. That's what they call. They're not called stuntman, they're called a precision driver.
Yeah, precision driver. And then so you see Sean Connery say to Jill St. John, lean that way, and then she goes, what? And then, bang, the car
he turns
goes
it off
up
two
on
wheels.
Now, on I'm two telling wheels you now, to go through now, that tiny gap.
No one, that stunt had never been done before, as far as I'm aware, on any movie. But that Hickman did it. And
they set it up with cameras everywhere. So once they got the shot, you know, they could, it was brilliant. And that was in
1971. I saw it in 71. So it could have been, it would have been filmed in 1970. And the movie.
Yeah.
So that was my first Bond movie. The second one that I watched after that was Thunderball.
There was no CGI back then. There was no CGI. No nothing.
Real, yeah. So that, and having spent, you know, 8 years or 6 years or whatever it was on different films, you get to see the real stunt drivers come over. And they're always.
When they did that bridge stunt in The Man with the Golden Gun with Jackie Gleason, where the car does a corkscrew and then lands perfectly on the other side. And the got it on the first take. First take.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. And they didn't wreck the car and it was just perfect. Because they worked all the,
and aerodynamics.
They
did not use CGI. They had a real driver. They had a scene. They mapped it out and they would have practiced a couple of times or looked at the logistics. But they literally did a 360
with all the filming. With all the filming. 360 corkscrew
and land on the other side bridge. And I'm going to tell you, this is not easy to do.
Roger Moore actually mentions Evel Knievel just before they hit it. But unfortunately, they put that stupid whistle. John Barry, I think, was doing the music. Yeah, but it was still awesome though. The way they re-edited it with the James Bond music, it was much better.
Ding 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 ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding over the top.
Interesting. We're talking about this trope of this American cop being this loose imbecile was played out in Bond. It was played in Smokey and the Bandit with Jackie Gleason.
I got that wrong. I thought it was it Smokey and the Bandit? Well, I thought it was Cannonball Run.
Both Cannonball Run and Smokey and the Bandit always had an imbecile American cop that was always useless as part of the scene.
I tell you, one of the best things you posted about before we get off James Bond was that Live and Let Die boat chase. Yeah. My God, I've never seen. It just brought back those memories.
Yeah,
the way Moore's and they're jumping over bloody things and these ridiculous boats and Moore's doing most of the. Yeah, he's not driving the boat.
He's not. No, it's a stuntman with a wig on. Yeah,
is it? Sure. Well, it looked like him.
Roger Moore would not have been part of any of those things. This is the magic of movies. They can have anyone that looks remotely like him. This is what we talk about fakeology and stuff like that. If you think that's the guy that's doing the stunt, you will believe that.
No way would they have the insurance to do that.
No way. But apparently Tom Cruise does do a lot of his stunts. But, you know, he's the producer and he's a...
Well, you worked with him on Mission Impossible 2. Yeah, the crappy one. Yeah. That was a shitty one.
Yeah, but
I think he was up his own ass at that time. You couldn't look him in the eye. Well, you'd have to look down to him.
He's been doing that for years. But when you get to see the guys that actually do the stuff, you can spot them a mile off. The stuntman, the way they walk with a swagger. And Brad Pitt played that character in that movie recently. He's a Hollywood stuntman and Quentin Tarantino.
You were good mates with Grant Page.
No, I wasn't good friends with him, but I knew him to talk to.
Yeah, well, that stunt and he got knocked out on Channel 9 was classic, you know.
Yeah, but he was a real stuntman. So a stuntman was the real guy that they bring in. Hal that's that name, Hal Needham. Yeah. He was the guy
when he broke his leg on Roger Miller's, was it Mad Max 2? When he did that flip over the bridge?
Not Roger
Miller. He broke his right leg because it clipped the bridge as he went over, and they still used it. Yeah, Mad Max 2.
Yeah. But
Roger Miller.
Not Roger Miller. Roger Miller was the
singer.
Oh, no,
Graham Page. Graham Page was
Dr. Miller was the guy that was the director of the movies we're talking about. The Mad Max.
Road Warrior, they called it. Road Warrior.
What's his name? And his business partner was Kennedy, so it was Kennedy Miller Productions.
Yeah. Kennedy Miller Productions. He's done really well. I mean,
I can hear birds in your back. I can hear birds in your background, Roller. Are you being swooped at, or have you?
No, I'm not feeding them anymore. I don't do that anymore. Can you hear? Well, if you can hear birds, you should be able to hear Rosie snoring, or the train going past. But it's a great nostalgia hour. But that boat chase. Honestly, I've never seen. Because I forget things these days.
the
boat ends up between that police car. Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's Jackie Gleason or not. Yeah,
it was Jackie. Yeah. You had the same trope. So you had what I call it a trope. Mm. It was this crazy, useless sheriff, and you had the same thing on Dukes of Hazzard with Enos and. What's his name?
I was never allowed to watch that.
Because of her shorts. Was it to do with her shorts that she was wearing?
Because of Daisy Duke's
shorts. And she had an incredible set of legs and,
They went all the way up.
Up to her.
All the way down. Yeah.
Vagina. Up to her vagina.
But she wore those, they were jeans shorts.
Jeans
and you
cut
could
off.
See the bottom. You could see the bottom of bum.
You could see all sorts of. Yeah.
And that sent men crazy.
Actually, changing the subject.
That's actually quite a racist.
Just off the beach of Bondi, I do believe, was it? Fucking useless young blood. I'm not a big fan of.
I thought you were going to say useless eater.
Here's a kind of useless leader, but he looks like if you're going to marry, make a creation of if Freddie Mercury and someone else
Where are you going with this?
If Freddie Mercury and Rock Hudson had a child, well, not Rock Hudson, it's a young blood who became Ozzy Osbourne's kind of offsider, you know. And he came out and sang that song, which I consider the worst song that Black Sabbath ever did.
It was Yemi Malik or something that did the, I think it was Yemi Malik or something. Have you seen Kelly Osbourne lately? Oh my God.
Do I want to talk about that?
Seriously.
Terrible. That's because they're shooting up that stuff.
Yeah, that I've been going on about.
Ozempic.
Yeah.
Ozempic. So Youngblood was on a boat off the coast on the harbour in Sydney. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it. No, I haven't seen it.
Okay. Sorry. Well, obviously he takes his pants off, and next thing you know, I'm looking on Facebook and there's all these old women going, he can stay at my place anytime. He can be easily. And if it was the other way around, it was a young female with a vagina dangling out of her shorts, and a whole lot of old guys in their 60s started saying, she can stay at my place anytime, they'd be guilt, you're a disgusting, dirty old man. Yeah. How dare you? But no, but Youngblood's taken his pants down on a harbour cruise off the coast of possibly, I'd say it's Bondi. He's with
what's he doing? Some sort of act where, like, the act that makes the women.
He takes his pants off and goes for dive into the harbour, as most people do, you know, on a boat in Sydney.
Yeah.
Whatever he did when he took his pants off, there's all these old women going, oh my God, you know, he should be,
yeah, getting,
he can come and stay at my place. He can,
yeah, getting and moist, getting moist.
They got moist in there. They didn't get a hot flush.
What were the name of those guys that were all ripped and they'd wear, you know, just, and they do the those girls shows like the full Monty type.
Yeah, yeah. Can I talk about them? We're talking about Manpower.
Manpower, that's it.
Okay. Now, when I was working on Baywatch in Avalon in 97 or 98. Oh, yeah,
with Pammy. Hasselhoff was there, wasn't he?
He was there. Oh, yeah, he was there.
All right. Yeah. But tell us.
chatting. Because I was standing around doing nothing, you know. And so, you know that I can talk a lot. It's a fact. I can talk a lot.
Gift of the gab, I would say.
Gift of the gab, yeah. Anyway, one of the guys I was chatting to, and girls, but just the most interesting, because did I recognize him? But he was an ex-Manpower stripper from, he was a plumber from the Northern Beaches. And he was, because I knew, because I read all the gossip sections in the newspaper, that he was sleeping with some old famous, old woman in Sydney who had a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I said to him, because I was doing weight training and fucking martial arts and all this stuff, and I know what you can do with your body. And I said to him, are you on the gear? And he goes, no. He actually said to me, no, I'm not, but I have used it before.
Yeah.
But anyway, this guy had this body that there's no way that's natural when you've got all muscle from the top of your body, and even the color of he
and the six name? Pack. It looks like a packet of eggs on your stomach.
Yeah. Okay, and he was telling me, he goes, oh, and I'm in really bad condition. And I was going,
yeah.
Now listen, dude, I've been in gyms for fucking 20 years before that. You know, I know what you can do. You've obviously doing something, but he was very interesting character. And the next thing you know, as he was chatting to me, that fucking Jewish, really rich businessman, what's his name?
Rene Rifkin.
Yeah, made a beeline to him and was just standing there like with his arms folded, like looking him up and down. And something's going on here. And
was this dude in front of the camera, or is he working with you, like security?
He was an extra on Baywatch.
So
if you watch the Baywatch shot in Australia movie, you get this blonde guy with a body that you cannot just get that body unless you're fucking on the gear, guaranteed.
And I need to get on the gear. You know why? I mowed my lawn this morning. I told you I was crook for 3 days. Yes.
Well, that's good.
I got up this morning and started the lawnmower. And
Rick needs to see a clean, evenly spaced lawn.
Yeah, not a blade of grass out of place. Anyway, I had the neighbors, they were all clapping and cheering for me, you know, because I was struggling. I need to get on the gear or something because mowing the lawn is so hard.
There's a thing that you can use to make this happen. It's called,
Get off the piss.
There's injections. It's the same stuff that Kelly Osbourne's using to lose all the fat face.
Mm.
It's,
dexamphetamine.
No. There's a name for it. And this, I'm telling you, when I was talking to this particular guy from Manpower, I knew that whatever he was using wasn't steroids. It was something else. And they are definitely shooting up.
And that was so funny because they'd have black pants on and no shirt and a bow tie around their necks. And they had their special pants. that they would rip off. Okay. Remember, they had Velcro pants that they would rip undies, off. Velcro but they undies. wouldn't go fully naked because
I don't know. I think they might have done. I'm not sure. And the biggest star of that manpower was the guy that's the gardener on Channel 9 now, Jamie Dury, who I've also Jamie Dury.
I thought you were going to say Don Burke. I wouldn't want to see Don Burke.
No.
But that was years ago.
I talked to Jamie Dury in a pub in Bondi one night.
Tell me, the Bondi Hotel.
And I went to the toilet and I was going to, you bump into people in the toilet and I looked over and it was Jamie Jury was next
to me. Jamie Jury.
And I said, fuck man, where'd you get that shirt from? We had this I've never seen a shirt with patterns like it. He's gone, what do you think? And I said, it's okay. You know, he goes, everyone reckons it's too over the top. And I said, no, it's a good shirt. It stood out to me. You know, that's the kind of conversation you have when you're in the toilets. But Jamie Jury, he was because the number
you
one
can,
mentor.
You can piss next to another man. I can't do that.
I did. And apparently, with Jamie Jury's reputation and being a manpower, he must have been.
Wouldn't have struggled for the ladies.
No, I don't think so. No, I'm telling you, that guy's a multi millionaire, and he was one of the biggest manpower strippers. And now I'm talking about famous in America. But he was chatting away, because I said,
I don't think they called it manpower in America. They called it a different name, did they?
Australia. Look up Manpower Australia. And these guys were gymnasts.
Good luck to them. They put a good show on for the old ladies and they loved them.
Youngblood is now this guy. Youngblood took his pants down on the boat I don't know what he was carrying down there, but obviously the comments on Facebook is like, he can come and stay at my place anytime. And I said, I'm 66, you know, and I'm like, well, I don't think he's going to be interested in you, darling. You know, 66. So I think he'd be going after more something that's like 24 or 25 or whatever. But oh my, you know, Youngblood is because he became friends with Ozzy Osbourne somehow. I don't know how.
Rest in peace.
But so his version of Changes, which is Ozzy Osbourne's most boring song,
Rock and Roll is 64. Best show ever. Best show ever.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
You're listening to Rock and Rillo on... What's the date today? It's the 17th of January, 2026. And I'm here to host the Rock and Relay show. Where's my glasses? Okay, I'll go now.
Yeah, thanks, Ken.
Rick.
Off. Yeah.
I'm inside now. I can talk at the top of my voice. My studio is soundproof. Let me go to my fridge. Why does your fridge beep at you? Why does your fridge beep at you?
The fridge is being a cunt to me, and it beeps whenever I open the door. Anyway, so I've told you about. So last week we did the Rick and Rollo 63. We had Norbert on. Norbert is now en route to Japan, but he spent at least, unfortunately for him, 10 hours to get to China and then 5 hours on the tarmac because of storms. Apparently there's storms all over the place from China.
That sucks. My father was on a plane once and it wasn't to do with the weather. It was to do with the pilots not being paid and they wouldn't take off.
Yeah.
And my father said, fuck this noise. I'm in fucking Saudi Arabia or somewhere. And they say, you can't get off the plane, sir. Your luggage is down And my father, you so know, yeah, what a way out. He said, fuck this noise. I'm not staying here 1 second longer until you work out what the fuck's going on. Because it's as hot as fuck and, I don't
put up with
it. Apparently the air conditioning wasn't working. So, he just said, unless this fucking bird takes off, I'm out of here. And then he did. And they had to go and they had to get, you know, the people to take his luggage off. And he got the next flight. He said,
because he has money and he's, you know, he's the designer of the Tangara and he's obviously got lots of money.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And he's not putting up with bullshit. And that's the same
thing. Fuck this. It had nothing to do with weather. It was just these cunts weren't being paid. The pilots weren't being paid.
Yeah, their pilot strike. That was in the...
Yeah, they were saying, we're not taking this plane off
late 80s.
until we get paid. Yeah, it was in the 80s. Yeah,
I remember that.
My father would not put up with any bullshit back then.
But I remember that era, and I remember being in the gym I worked at. Because if anyone queries how many people I know, I have spent most of my life working in transitional jobs that you meet lots of different people. Like I was worked in gym, so every night you're talking to different people that are coming in wanting programs or whatever, and you become friends with them. And I did schools, I did stuff, and I know loads of people that were at schools, you know, and I'm still friends with them to this day. I also worked in like security. So every day I was in a different job. I never worked in that. A lot of people work in the same job and they go to work and they talk to the same people for fucking 80 years or 50 years or whatever. I never did that. I worked in jobs where I was meeting different people every single day of the week.
Holy fucking shitballs, Batman. I think I made that one too strong. That Imogul is way too strong. I'll be passed out. I don't want to start snoring on you like
John LeBron. We could end with the Metallica Orion. That's a good song to end with.
Yeah,
great song. So we'll do that.
All right then.
Give it 20 minutes, and we'll go with Orion.
All right, I'll go and water this down because I'm a little. Yeah, what do you call me? Karen.
It's not a Karen. If you've made a triple, a vodka.
Yeah, it's a quadruple vodka Do not do it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll fall over and hit my head on a fucking desk like Ace Frehley and do myself brain damage.
Have you got plenty of ciggies though?
I've got more ciggies than I know what to. I could smoke one in my ears, in my nostrils, in my butthole, in my pee hole. I've got so many of those ciggies. Now that I've got access to them because they relax me.
I'm not joking here. And I think I may have said it to Christy before. I said, you are better off smoking because nicotine actually is great for your mental health. It is not bad for you. If you're in a different level of, your thoughts are all over the place. Nicotine will fucking calm you down. It's not a bad thing.
You ought to see what I'm looking at. Rosie wants to come in now because I'm inside. All right. I'm coming back out there.
I know those ones she's putting on.
It's not that hot today, so the air conditioning.
Can I tell you about this book that I've got right in front of me?
All right. Tell me about that. Book
Cult TV. The Essential Guide to Cult TV, Old TV Shows. And the foreword is by Patrick McGoohan, who...
Oh, McGoohan. Was in Danger Man and The Prisoner.
And did you know, and plus all those other ones, he played...
the bad guy in Escape Room. He was the warden in Escape Alcatraz.
And Mel Gibson's.
Yes, right. He was king. Now he was king. He goes, do you know what the trouble is? You know what he says this? You know what the trouble with Scotland? It's filled with Scots. So yeah, we're going to enact a law. He was called Longshanks. He says, so we're going to make a new law where anyone who gets married, that one of the British gets to have sex the first night. Now, is it true?
Alan Watt used to go on about this. So they had some kind of right that could come around and fuck your wife.
Yeah, on the first night.
Yeah. If they can have a window tax in England, they can do a fucking sex with wife tax, guaranteed. And they would.
Did Monty Python? Monty Python says, "I just bought a fish or something." John Cleese. I need a license for my fish.
And honestly, I would believe that they're going to bring a fish license out, not fishing license, a license to have a pet fish. I would believe they would do that for sure. But anyway, this book is called Cult TV, and Patrick McGoohan did a foreword, and he explains that when they did the final episode of The Prisoner, I'm talking about the 67 era Prisoner.
It
confused. Everyone was expecting to get the answer's going to be in the last episode. Everyone, darling, we've been watching the show for the last 12 episodes or 16 episodes. They're going to explain it on the last episode. Well, that last episode, it actually featured the Beatles performing All You Need Is Love in the very last episode. That made things even more complicated than what you've been sitting through this episode show to go, okay, well, they obviously got to explain everything on the very end show. The last show of The Prisoner, circa 67, made it even more understand. And he said he didn't have to, but he left England because he could not go and buy a pint of milk at a grocery store without people coming up going, what the fuck was that about? And so he actually left. He moved to France for 2 years just to get away from the.
Tom Baker did the same thing, and the guy, the famous story I heard is the guy that played the fugitive. Old women would see him in the street.
Yeah,
and say, he didn't. He didn't. He didn't do it.
And this is the thing about being an actor. Remember, we talk about Neighbours, with Kylie Minogue and Jason Donovan. This is the grumpy old neighbour, the English actress.
Oh, yeah.
She left Australia because she said that everyone believed what they saw on TV. And this is feeding in with psychology. People believe the TV shows that are real. And so that anything you see on that little screen, people believe it's real. It's that easy to do.
People in England they see the time on a clock or something on the TV would change their time. It's pre-recorded. So,
Watching TV,
you're retarded.
People believe what they see on TV, but in this foreword by Patrick McGoohan, he actually says he left the country because he could not deal with all the people that were coming up to him in his real life, like what's the name from Neighbours, that grumpy old woman that was the next door neighbour. What was the name? Mrs. Mangle.
Mrs. Mangle, there you go.
So the actress that played Mrs. Mangle came from England to take on the role as Mrs. Mangle. When she discovered that most people in Australia believe that she was actually Mrs. Mangle and they were abusing her when she walked into a shop, she left the country. Patrick McGoohan says the same thing happened to him. People were coming up and abusing him, going, what the fuck was that show about?
That's the price you pay for fame.
For fame, yeah. And Mrs. I would Mrs. look.
Do you, I want to give Mrs. Mangle.
Fame is a curse.
Not on my worst enemy, but there are a few people
Fame on Anthony Albanese. Fame on you.
He's sort of kind of infamous, not fame. It's infamy.
Infamy, yeah. But I've got this book in front of me, and it's got shows like Kojak, which was a great show. L.A. Law,
Telly
Savalas, and his brother, Telly Savalas' brother played his brother on the TV show. But the man in the suitcase, it's the Sabre of London, Miami Vice, McMillan and Wife, McLeod, Mission Impossible, Moonlighting.
Mrs. Mangle was played by Vivian Grey, by the way.
Vivian left Australia because the people in Australia could not accept that she was not actually Mrs. Mangle. She was an actress portraying an annoying next-door neighbour. That's the way it is.
She's a rather attractive older lady. She really is.
I don't know about
that. I think she's still with it. Let me have a look.
Well, can you imagine? This is what's going on now. So Youngblood, I think he's about 20-something or other. He's taken his pants off.
Jean Vera Gray died in 2016, unfortunately.
Okay.
She doesn't worry about that anymore.
No doubt. But so we got Peter Gunn, The Persuaders. Now, did you ever watch The Persuaders, Rollo? And do you know about the show?
The Persuaders.
Mm-hmm.
No, I never did.
Okay. So it was Roger Moore and Tony Curtis playing a couple of Roger Moore played a rich guy called Danny, and Tony Curtis played this bum kind of American, and they were like a character, a couple that they weren't a, when I say a couple,
they were the English, the odd couple.
Yeah, so Tony Curtis and Roger Moore played, and this is a great show. Let me just tell you now, 1971.
No
puffs is allowed. But can you hear the birds? I've got birds.
They must be your place. Yeah.
They're at my, it's the crows flying around. I can talk to them. I understand crow. Not the Indian crow.
I've relaxed Anamogaloo. It's a lot better. I'm starting to get really wasted.
I know. We'll give it 20 minutes and then we'll play
Absolutely. All right, let's go back to Discord and see what else we haven't spoke about.
Yeah, go for it.
Let's have a look here.
Greatest show we've ever done.
The AI thing being abused.
It's being abused for sure.
Yeah. Well, Dolly People Parton. Can't trust said the other day, this Anthony. Now, what's his show called? Compound Media. He's quite famous. He's a bit of a Howard Stern. He's not known in Australia. Neither is Howard Stern. No one is here in Australia.
Look, I'm telling you now, you would be surprised how many people know who, what's his name?
I know.
What's his name? The biggest internet show ever.
Joe Rogan.
People are big fans of Joe Rogan over here.
Oh, yeah. So I love him. Yeah, and everyone will go on that show. Mel Gibson goes on that show easily because he's easy going. And Elon Musk and that. And he'll allow you to say what you want and take gummies
of whatever. Sorry, I'm just
He'll allow it because he's so easygoing.
I find Joe Rogan very enjoyable to because I don't go out of my way to listen to him, but he's just the kind of guy that sits there and just he doesn't get upset about whatever you say. That's all you want in life. When someone gets triggered by something you've said. Fuck them! Yeah. You do not want them in any part of your life. You do not want a trigger person.
Donald J. Trump in his studio for on over air, 3 hours.
And
there were no ads. No ads.
And he won. And that's how Donald Trump
won the election. They got on. So, yeah, won him the 2024 election because Kamala Harris.
Yeah, so she
wouldn't go on it because she doesn't have the gift of the back and forth.
She's a fucking idiot, and she hasn't got. And this is the problem with women. Don't seem to have the.
She's a wine. She's a wine mum, Karen.
Oh yeah, big time.
Yep. Yeah, and she's been. Yep. And I think she's wrecked the Democratic Party for years to come.
Well, yeah, but again, you've got to leave this left-right.
Paradigm. Paradigm.
Paradigm. Yeah, there's no such thing as left and right. All there is right and wrong. Right and wrong.
Mm.
And if you're...
That's true.
It's all it is. And so I'm listening to...
If I spark up my Rolls Royce and I've got $1 million, and then I drive it into someone's swimming pool like Keith Moon, am I doing the right thing here or not? whacked up on Quaaludes, good drugs.
Honestly, to me, that sounds like the best drug ever, and
as long as Bill Cosby's not in the house, you know, I don't want to do a Quaalude. Yeah.
I think Bill Cosby is up there with Rolf Harris and all these other celebrities. Mm. This is part of this whole thing of taking down
ritual humiliation,
and the fact that
you've made a deal.
Sorry, I'll go be a Rick, but no, you're right. It's exactly what you're saying.
To become famous, you've sold your soul.
Yeah, Bill Cosby is up there with Rolf Harris. So it's Bill Cosby was the American version of Rolf Harris. He was the guy. Yeah.
I loved the show back in the 80s. Loved it. The Cosby Show, where he was a doctor. There was a funny piss take on it. It goes, hold on. Why are you Rick and Roll 64? We'll be right back.
Be told.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Hello. You're listening to Rock and Rillo on the 64th episode. And we've got, what's the date today? The 17th of January, 2020. Six, and Rock and Rillo will be right back right now.
Thank you, Kev.
Hey, yeah, thank you, Kev. Kev, you're a legend. Yeah, well, we're just talking about the Cosby Show the Family Guy. Why are your kids different colored skin? I know you're all black. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Seth MacFarlane that did that, and but I might be getting that wrong. I think it was Andy Kaufman, the Saturday Night Live comedian. Back in the
I think part of the agenda because he played this, characters that were just, and he would just go out of his way to destroy his audiences. They didn't know what he was going on. Was he real? Was he fake? And this is part of this whole agenda.
I agree. Did you know that that film Jim Carrey, where he was apparently painted a pain in the ass, Man on the Moon. Yeah, it was a great song, by the way. R.E.M. He's a method actor, you know, like Christian Bale and that.
You could not tell if he was really portraying him or he was. And this is the thing about acting. It's like, you know, is that the real person you're watching or is it someone that's pretending?
Yeah.
But Luckart, that character he played on Taxi was just off his head. You know, you didn't know what he was going on about. Yeah. But yeah, it was a thing. It was part of this whole, again, I'm saying it's part of the agenda. It's gaslighting you to not know what's real and what's fake. What's real or what's fake. And what was right. Jim Carrey. But I love that movie.
When he reached up to his shoulder and he felt that lump and he goes, oh, what the hell is that? And then he died like at 43 or something. And,
did he die?
And apparently, did he die? That's right. Did Jim Belushi die? Like all our
I think Jim Belushi. The actor. I've never seen anyone that looks like Jim Belushi ever again. And he died taking a speedball, and apparently it was like Ron Wood and Keith Richard from the Rolling Stones. You know, they were doing it's a mixture of cocaine.
Heard all the backstories. The one I miss the most was the funniest one of Saturday Night Live. Back when I used to watch it, Saturday Night Live was Phil Hartman. You remember him, Phil Hartman?
Yeah, of course. Oh, yeah. The voices.
And he was the creative. Yeah, the Simpsons.
The Simpsons. Yeah. And his wife shot him dead.
Yeah, Andy Dick apparently coked his wife up one night.
I think I read
Andy. That. Andy, what a name, Andy Dick.
Yeah, bad name.
And gave bad name. His wife was on, you know, drinking champagne at this high class. And then snorts a few lines of coke, and then she wasn't screwing around on him. Pulls out a gun, shoots him in the head, and then shoots herself in the head.
Yeah,
maybe that's the only reason I would say open carry. You shouldn't have open carry
with a woman anywhere near you. If a woman had open carry. You're fucked. You're going to be shot dead. I would have been shot dead many times over the years. I think we should wind it up, actually, and we'll go out with Orion. Yeah? We'll come back. We can come back and just talk.
Rick and Rollo 65 next Saturday night.
Yeah. And why not?
But it's always a pleasure. Orion,
instrumental by Metallica, which I'm going to say is one of the best
Which version? Do you want
to go with a live version or? No, the original version, I would say.
The original. All right. Yeah. Do you want me to send it to him right now?
Yeah, you do that. Do that.
All right. We'll go out with Orion. Good to talk to you, Rick.
A pleasure. We'll be back. It's so funny. You used to talk. Look, we'll talk a little bit more, but when you were living in that house, the other house.
Oh, yeah, Floralia, up at New Lampton. Floralia,
New Lampton. You would be ringing me during the week, and it was always a drama, but now you've got a nice house, everything's nice. Like me, I'm living in a nice house, everything's nice. We don't need to have drama, and we've got nice neighbours.
Oh, dramedies, they call them. Dramedies.
Dramedies, whatever.
Yeah, we don't need them.
Kookaburra is going...
Kookaburra sits in the old gum tree.
But, you know, Orion by Metallica.
I'm sending it to him right now.
Yeah, send the original version and it'll wind it up with it.
Yeah.
And There you go. Mute.
Don't we all wish we can play like that, Rick? Metallica, right? Oh, here it comes.
Oh, we're still going. A little bit more.
Yep, here it comes. Greatest regret, never seeing them live.
Yeah, no, apparently I've spoken to so many people and they say that Metallica, despite the fact they're a bunch of wankers, their live shows were the best metal shows ever.
I think it was just Lars Ulrich being a wanker because wanker, the yeah. soul of music Riff. Thing. I think James Hetfield, Cliff Burton was playing bass there, and Kirk Hammett there on lead.
Kurt Hammett,
and James Hetfield was playing lead as well.
I do believe that was them at their best.
Absolutely. I agree with you there. Totally. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Velocet. Truth Meets.
Thank you, Jolo.
That was Metallica Orion. Oh my God. You know, we just, you know, we're blessed with the best producer in the world and
the best
musicians. Because, heavy metal back in those days, I used to knock around, at a radio station, as you well know, 2 Bob FM. And I was in Sydney one day and 2RRR in Sydney back in the day just played pure metal. And I was in the metal shop. I got talking to this bloke and I go, "You're the main guy." And he goes, "Yeah." 'Cause I recognize his voice. Okay.
Really?
And I was buying. I remember it.
Best radio station ever. If you're into metal was 2RRR.
Yeah.
Gladesville.
I swear I was pulling a record out of a sleeve and I go, "Oh, should I buy this?" It was Heathen or something that you'd never hear.
Whatever. Yeah.
You'd always want something that you'd, because this is before the internet, you can get anything these days.
Amazing.
But back then, and I was pulling, and then he goes, "That's a good record." And then the second one, I said, "You're the guy of RRR, aren't you?" And he goes, "Yeah."
Where?
And I go, "Wow." You know, so, you know, when you get to meet, you know,
I've met at different parties and barbecues and whatever over the years and being in pubs, 3 of the top music journalists of the Sydney. And I've met them in different places, and I've ended up being in this deep conversation because they've realised that they're talking to a guy that knows exactly their kind of stuff. Yeah. And I had a fantastic conversation with I got Murray Englehart was one of the he used to do that Sydney metal show. It was called Remedy. He used to write for that Sydney music magazine. I forget the name of it. And I'm on Facebook with him at the moment. And he's got cigarette butts from Keith Richards. He interviewed Keith Richards. And
Has he got one from Lemmy Kilmister?
Yes, he has.
I love your Lemmy Kilmister story.
Well, that's a true story.
You know, everyone's scrapping around.
I'm telling you, 1983. Front of stage, Motorhead, and he walked out like six foot one or two, whatever he is.
Yeah.
And he had his bass guitar up high and his microphone up high, and he spat the cigarette out in the front.
Yeah.
And the people to the left of me, this went, all died for the cigarette butt. And I was like, fuck, man, that's a song of a rock god.
Yeah. One of the funniest stories I was watching a metal band. What were they called? They sang a song called Rooster or something. Alice in Chains. You remember Alice in Chains?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. The funniest thing I saw. Okay. So he tipped his mic out on his stand over the crowd.
I think it's Lane Staley
or something.
Lane Staley. I'll find it.
So he
who sang and from,
the
who,
the microphone flipped. It was called Alice in Chains.
Who was the lead singer of Alice in Chains? Lane Staley. It was Lane Staley.
And it was the funniest thing. The microphone slipped out of the stand. It was a cordless mic, and it went into the mosh pit. It went into the mosh pit. And he jumped into the mosh pit, and there was all this all coming through. And when he got back on stage, all his clothes were ripped apart. And
I was a roadie, right? So 86, 87. Yeah.
What was the name of that band? Slaughter or something? Slaughter?
No. It was
Rick and Roll. 64.
Rick and Roll after 64. Show. 64 after show.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
in the art of conversation.
Yeah,
Lane, Lane Staley.
Yeah, Rick and Roll at 64, Saturday.
Yeah, Lane Staley. Lane Staley was.
Hold on. They're still a professional. Rick and Roll at 64, Saturday, the 17th of January, 2026. Yeah, I was always taught to do that at 2Bob FM.
And
to come in and in and out on even when you ads and whatnot. Yeah. We were talking about hard rock. Yeah. And
I say that my look, when I was as a roadie, my favorite band was a Massive Appendage, who also called themselves Kings. They also called themselves King's Cross. And that was before, there's another band out there called King's Cross, American metal band. But these guys were just, they had long hair draped over their Fender Stratocasters and whatever bass they were playing and whatever drum. But they were just the best. When you went into a pub and you had this dry ice, the smell, I always think of this today. When I think about it, the smell of the dry ice machines.
As long as you don't light a Twizzler and do smoke on the water.
Smoke on the water, exactly.
Yeah. when I was a younger man, I used to see ads in the paper. It doesn't matter if you can play an instrument as long as you got long hair.
And that's true. And that's kind of the way it was back then.
Bruce Dickinson and Metallica, they all had long hair, and then after that they just went, oh, long hair is just a pain in the ass. I still got long hair now.
You certainly do. I couldn't deal with that, man. It's like, to me, it's like, you know, as long as you got hair, though, I suppose, in some ways. But
my brother went bald young, and that pissed him off no end. And when I made a joke about it, he did not take that well. No, it didn't.
I bet he didn't.
I said, put a toupee on then, you bloody vain bastard.
Yeah, that's the way it was. That's the way it is. I think I'm going to go soon because I've been.
All right, can I go out with Star Trekking?
Yeah, why not?
Because we were talking about Star Trek.
We have to send
and Star Trekking. I can't remember who sung it, but I'm sure
The Firm. Yeah. But not, all right. It's interesting. There's another band called The Firm that had Paul Rogers and Jimmy Page. This is not them. It's a band called The Firm.
Song I want is an annoying song. Yeah, they're slinging on the stubborn mouse.
It's called The Firm. No, it's all right. Yeah. But we'll go. And send that to Jolo. And I'm going to go, man. I think I'm done for.
Yeah, no. It's been a pleasant. We'll talk on Rick and Rollo 65.
I'm a pleasant fucker and I'm a pheasant plucker.
Hey, I'm a thistle sifter. I have a sieve of sifted thistles and a sieve of unsifted thistles. Because I'm a thistle sifter. Say that.
No.
That's from the King's speech.
Life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it. Captain.
There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. There's Klingons on the starboard bow, starboard bow.
Star Trekking across the universe.
On the Starship Enterprise, on your Captain Kirk.
Star Trekking across the universe.
Only going forward,
worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead.
It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it. Not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it. Not as we know it.
Captain. Yeah.
Come in peace, shoot to kill, shoot to kill, shoot to kill. We come in peace, shoot to kill, man.
It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim, dead, Jim. It's worse than that, he's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim, dead.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it. Captain.
Yeah, swing us on the starboard bow, starboard bow, starboard bow. They swing us on the starboard bow. Scrape them off, Jim.
Star trekking across the universe. Across the universe.
Only going forward, and things are getting worse.
Engine room, it's just dead. You cannot change the laws of physics.
Laws of physics.
Laws of physics.
Cannot change the laws of physics.
Laws of physics, Jim.
Oh, we come in peace. Shoot to kill, shoot to kill, shoot to kill. We come in peace. Shoot to kill. Scotty, beam me up.
It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. Dead, Jim. It's worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Dead, Jim.
Well, it's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, not as we know it. It's life, Jim, but not as we know it, not as we know it, Captain.
Yeah,